Well, hallelujah for that wonderful song. And I am glad I got a God who can patch it up. On this Sunday morning, this first Sunday in August, I want you to give you some hope. You may have a broken marriage, but I got a God that can patch it up. You may have a broken life. You've went into sin and your life's broken up and you feel like there's no way out. I want you to know there is a way out. There is a God that'll help you patch it up. You might be suffering through some financial or other kind of problem, and you might say, I don't know how to fix it, but I'm glad I got a God that can patch it up. On this Sunday morning, he's alive and he's well, and I'm thankful to be here. Now, we're live streaming this morning, and you be much in prayer. We have some of our folks that have been affected by this pandemic. Some been exposed. We've had some that has been infected with the COVID-19. I want you to pray for their families and pray for them and pray for the others that were exposed. That was done outside the church. And we're just having live stream today just out of caution. We don't want to take a chance. God's watched over the church, and we have not had an outbreak in the middle of the church, and we don't want to have one. But do pray for those that are going through it. Also pray for some of our sick folk. Brother Joe McKay is going through chemo and radiation every day. Pray for him. Pray for Brother Ernie Yates. He had surgery this week and he needs prayer. Pat Cook needs prayer. Pat has really had a difficult time. And I think about Jim Markham. Jim's been fighting cancer and having a battle. But boy, he's got a good attitude and a sweet spirit. Connie Jeremiah, I know she's listening this morning. And I want you to pray for Miss Connie that God would help her and take care of her. Brother Larry Curry's been going through a battle with cancer. Some of our young people have been sick. Kerrigan O'Brien and Jenna Strope and Haley Thompson and some of the others have been sick. And you pray for our youth group. They had a wonderful youth camp. God moved in it. But I want to tell you, anytime God moves in anything, you can expect the devil going to move too. And he's been fighting us ever since that great movement of God, that youth camp. And we've went through a lot. But I want you to know something. I got some hope for you this morning out of the Word of God. Hey, heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. If you want to have hope this morning, you're not going to find it in the White House. You're not going to find it in the Congress. They can't legislate hope. They can't promote hope. But I want you to know, I've got a God of hope. I want you to know when he comes again, he's going to come, and we call it the blessed hope. And I'm going to give you some hope this morning. We're all facing distress. We're all facing these difficult times. And I want to show you some help from God's word. If you would, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I want to go to an experience of King David's life. King David was a great king. Hey, David was a man after God's heart. The Bible said that it did always the will of God. David is a giant of the faith. But I want to say something to you. You can be a giant of the faith. You can be in the middle of the will of God. You can have a heart for God. Are you listening? And still be in the midst of trouble and turmoil and trials. There's some of my church people right now, great people, love God. They're in the middle of distressing times, discouraging times. But I got some hope for you in the Word of God this morning. Let's look what the Bible said. And it came to pass when David and his men will come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice this phrase. I want you to get this phrase. I want you to grab a hold of this phrase. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Woo! And David said unto Abiathar the priest and Ahimelech the son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray right now for people that are hurting. Their families are hurting. They're hurting in the area of their finances. There's some folks without jobs. There's some folks being affected by this severe pandemic that's hit our whole world. There's some folks woke up this morning discouraged, feeling like doom is over their head, distressed. But Lord, help them right now to do what David done. That was to encourage herself in the Lord. Help us, Lord, as we preach this message. Give help to people. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. The scene of this passage of scripture, we find David in one of the most discouraging situations of his whole life. You might say, Preacher Smith, he was a king. He was in the will of God. He was a man of God. Why was he discouraged? Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're a king or a pauper, you're going to face scenes like David did in this passage of scripture. The Bible said he had many wars with the Philistines, and now a common enemy came against him. The city of Ziklag was given David by the king of Philistine, and the Amalekites. By the way, you know the Amalekites. They haunted the children of Israel throughout their whole history. Remember the scripture, then came Amalek. By the way, Amalek was a descendant of Esau. And by the way, Amalek is a picture of our old nature and our flesh. I want you to know you ain't going to get rid of it. The Bible said that Amalek would be with them from generation to generation. I want you to know, when we got saved, everything in us got saved. We are sealed to the day of redemption. But our old flesh, it didn't get saved. It still plagues us. It still messes with us. But I am glad I've got a God that's able to help us, even when we have our zigzags, even when we find our lives turned upside down and burned and affected, and even when the enemy is raging. And I want you to know the devil is raging. But I want you to know this. The greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. I want to say three things by way of introduction. In the first three verses, Ziklag was a place of tragedy. Ziklag was the town which Achish, the Philistine king had given to David and his men to dwell and their families and their belongings. The Amalekites, while David was gone and his men were gone, attacked the city, burned the city, took all the women, took all the children, and took them captive. And by the time that David got there, he saw such a tragedy. I'm talking to people. Your life, some of you, you've had some tragic events. Some of you are facing cancer. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are so burdened because you're laid off and your life right now is filled with tragedy and heartache and burden and confusion. I want you to know I'm glad for God to be able to help us. We have ample proof that this race that we're walking in will be full of hostility. Our life is going to be a constant battle with our flesh and with the world and the devil. I want you to know this world don't like us. The devil hates us. They hated Christ. He hated Christ. He hates you. And he's trying to do everything he can to discourage you. David learned a lesson from the Amalekites' attack on Ziklag. Lesson that we all need to learn. That we're going to be attacked. You know, I've been preaching at this church come the end of this month for 42 years. And I want you to know something. It's been a blessed time. It's been a wonderful time. But I want you to know this. It hadn't been without Satan's attacks. Right now, I've seen men in my church family under attack, under a burden, being afflicted. And I want you to know that I'm praying for them. And I want you church people to know that God loves you. Amidst your tragedy, he's there. Let me say a second thing about Ziklag. It was a place of tragedy. In verse number 4, it was a place of tears. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. Tears of sorrow. When they returned to Ziklag, they didn't even know what had happened to the children and their wives. They didn't know if they were alive or dead. And they started weeping. I tell you how much they cried. They cried until there was no power left in them. They just collapsed under the pressure. There's some of you right now, you spent some real difficult nights lately. You've been weeping. You've been trying to understand why you've been going through this trial. You've been trying to understand why am I facing what I'm facing. Could you imagine the mindset of David? Could you imagine what he was going through at that time? The tears. Oh, sometimes people say, well, you leaders, you don't have any compassion and you don't have any burden. I want to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher. I love my congregation. I'm hurt this morning. This week I've been praying. I've been praying for those that are suffering with cancer. Those that have been infected by COVID-19. Those that are scared to death that they might get infected. Those families that are having a hard time financially. Oh, I've been praying for you. I've been weeping for you. And I know you're weeping. But weeping endured for a moment. But joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Thirdly, I want you to know it's by way of introduction. Ziklag was a place of treachery. Look what happened in verse number 6. Boy, I tell you. And David was greatly distressed. Listen to this. for the people spake of stoning him. I want to tell you something. Whether you like this or not, when you get down, there are going to be some people kick you while you are down. There are going to be some people that will say, blame you for everything. I want you to know something, and I want to say this with all my heart. Pastoring a church right now during this pandemic, I've never had anything like it in 42 years. There'll be some people on one side, when you make a decision, say, I don't like it. Then there'll be people on the other side, when you make a decision, say, you didn't make it soon enough. I want to tell you, you can't please everybody. And there will be times that because people are angry and frustrated, they'll turn on you. They'll be venomous snakes. They'll want to stone you. But be of good cheer. Let God help you. Let God move on you. And I'm going to give you this thought this morning. I'll finally give you the title. What to do when there's no one else to encourage you. They wanted to stone him. The Amalekites had burned the city down. When it seemed like it couldn't get any worse, the people turned their backs on him. And the Bible said, not John Smith, not the world. Here's what the Bible said about David. Listen to this, church member. Listen to this while you're on live stream. David encouraged himself. When some of the church members won't encourage you, when you don't get any encouragement at the home with your spouse or children, when you don't get any encouragement out in the world, let me give you some real positive things to do. Encourage yourself. You say, I don't know how. Oh, you can. Now, I'm going to show you how in the Word of God. David didn't seek somebody else to encourage him. So here's our problem. We're always looking for pity, and we always act like a victim. When in reality, we're not victims, we're victors. In reality, we're on the winning side. In reality, I read the back of the book, the devil goes to hell, and we go to heaven. So I want to, for the next few moments, talk about that thought. What to do when no one encourages you. First of all, I want to say this. I want to talk about the reality of discouragement. It's experienced by all saints. Right now, in our auditorium, there's four people. I'm here, Jared Green's here, Josh Westfall's here, and Brother Grant's here. And I want you to know, all four of us have went through our share of discouragement. And there's a devil out there wanting to discourage every one of you. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there had no temptation taken you, but since it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. We're going to experience every one of us. But I want you to know something. You're not going to go through that anything Christ hadn't went through. You're not going to go through that anything our Lord hadn't went through. He went through suffering. He went through poverty. He said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't even have anywhere to put his head. Then it'd be exemplified in the scripture. If you read the Word of God will tell you, you're going to get discouraged. The Bible said in Numbers 21:4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor, by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want you to know something. There's some of you, I think when you signed up to be a Christian, you listened to too much Joel Osteen, this health and wealth gospel, and you'll never have any problems and no heartaches. Ladies and gentlemen, you will have problems, and you will have heartaches, and you will have burdens, and we will be discouraged in the way. I want you to know, this Christian way is the best way. It's the most profitable way. It's the greatest way. But it is not a way that doesn't have any discouragement. And then number two, in Deuteronomy, the Bible said they were discouraged by their brethren or the witnesses. You know, I'm gonna be frank right now, okay? I'm just gonna be frank with you. You know who discouraged me the most? It's not politics, it's not the politicians. It's not the sinners. They don't discourage me. They act like I expect them to act. But I tell you who discourages me is some of these people call themselves Christians that's always down on somebody, always gossiping about somebody, always griping about something. That's what discourages us. And the brethren will discourage you. Hey, there's some preachers that have left the gospel that discourage me. There's some churches that don't believe in the old time way anymore. They discourage me. But I want to tell you what, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Are you getting some help this morning? Hit the like button. And then it was evoked by Satan. Let me tell you something about Satan. The Bible said the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But here's what Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The devil, he's a liar. The devil is a thief. The devil will try to steal your joy, try to steal your closeness to God, your faith. But you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. First of all, we see the reality of discouragement experienced by all saints, exemplified in the scripture, evoked by Satan. But secondly, I want you to notice the reaction of David. But I want to just say something to you. I want to get real plain with you. We're all going to face these things. But what kind of attitude are you going to have when you face them? How are you going to react when all hell breaks loose in your life? When the cities burn? When everything seems like it's been ravished? When your life's turned upside down? How will you react? I'll tell you how David reacted. He encouraged himself, Jared, in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Somebody hit the like button. He didn't go to the Congress. He didn't go to the White House. He didn't go to the Pope. He didn't go to Mohammed. He went to the Lord. Let me show you a couple things. First of all, he was encouraged, his encouragement in a position in the Lord his God. God's people can be greatly encouraged with the reminder of the fact that we are in the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hey, we're in Christ. You know, a lot of people like to think, Josh, they like to think they in the in crowd. They ain't in the in crowd. They're running with a bunch of losers. But the day I got saved, January 31st, 1973, I got in the in crowd. I'm in Christ. Whew. No wonder I could be encouraged. Then he was encouraged in a person, in the Lord his God. What kind of person is God? The Bible said, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. I'll tell you what kind of person God is. He's a caring God. He loves you. There's some of you right now think that nobody cares and that you've been forsaken and nobody loves you. I want to tell you, Brother Wagner wrote that song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus," after his wife had forsaken him and said she would not be a minister's wife. He wrote that song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." You said, who cares? God cares. Christ cares. You said, what kind of person is he? He's a compassionate person. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He will succor them that are tempted and deliver us, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy in the time of need. What a compassionate Savior. He came to the multitude, and the Bible said he had compassion on them. There have been so many times in my life that I felt his love. Right now, during all the pressure, and there is a lot of pressure, and during this pandemic, I want to tell you, I've never felt any more love than I feel this morning. I will tell you, I got a loving Savior. Friends might forsake you. Family might forsake you. But I got a God that said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Not only the God we serve is a caring person, a compassionate person. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says he's a comforting person. The Bible says he's the God of all comfort. You said, who's comforting you, Pastor? The God of all comfort. The Bible said in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll tell you what he'll do for you. I'll tell you how David encouraged yourself, and you can encourage, you can recall your past provisions. How many can hit the like button and look in your past and say God's been good to you? Just do that right now, will you? And then you can contemplate on his great power to deliver you from your present problems. And you can meditate upon his wonderful promises. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. What a possession we have in God. Then lastly, and I want you to hear this, the recovery of the departed. When they come and burn the city, they took David's wives, the others' wives, and the others' children. And you know what God done? God gave it all back. I see, I got a God that's a God of recovery. You might think right now that your situation is too difficult for God, that you're in too deep for God to help you. I want you to know, right now, you're in a great position for God to take care of you and bless you during this time. Let me show you the third thing, the recovery of the departed. First of all, in verse number 8, the pursuing request. Look what David said. Now, David this time, see, he just messed up in his life and went for wrong counsel. But this time, he changed his mind and said, I'm going back to God. And here's what he said to God. They brought the ephod in, and he asked God, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You know what some of you need to do? Instead of going asking all your friends how to fix it, and instead of you going out and saying, what do I do next, to some lost person that don't have a clue, you ought to seek God's wisdom. You ought to ask him, God, I need direction. Shall I pursue? Shall I go forward? God, what will I do? Hallelujah. And then in verse number 8, the promise received. Thou shalt surely overtake them. You know what God said? Yeah, you can, you're going to go. And I tell you what else you're going to do, David. You're going to overtake them, and you're going to win, and you're going to be on the winning side. Hey, you're in the darkest time in your life, David, but because you encouraged yourself in me, and because you trusted me, and because you didn't deny my name, I'm going to take you through. You know what some of you need to do? Get your attitude right. Get right with God. Start letting your actions be correct. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 18 and verse 19. And I'll finish. The prosperous recovers their prosperity. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18 and 19. And David, listen to this, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And listen to this. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, neither anything that they had taken to them. David recovered it all. Now, some of you think that you've lost it all. Some of you think there's no recovery. I want you to know, listen to me, church. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Listen to me right now. You got a God that can recover your lost things. You got a God that can fix your marriage. You got a God that can fix your material problems and supply your need. But I tell you what you got to do. You got to trust him. In this dark time, you need to be faithful to God's house or faithful to listen on the internet. You need to be faithful to giving your tithe. You need to pursue after God's will. And if you do, you'll recover all. I'm talking to people today. Some of you are lost. You're scared to death of what's going to happen next in this world. You don't know where to turn. Can I tell you where to turn? Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to him right now. Trust him right now. Lean on him right now. Don't lean under your own understanding. Trust him. Christian, you're devastated. Your life's been turned upside down. You said, what can I do, preacher? Right now, do what David done. Encourage yourself in the Lord and let God help you. Let me pray for you. Our Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for our time together. God, help folks right now that are going through burdens and depression and discouragement, and lift them out of it on this Sunday morning. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.